is it a city of Geneva or yeah. Batavia?
Yeah.
Okay. Something that's up for like the first time or something?
Continue and continue. It's a violation.
I'll let Colin explain.
Yeah.
It's just kidding. I'm gonna pass him on and then the only person is not complaining. I don't see him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm learning.
It was provided by the previous hearing. Before we were.
Or do you have other stuff?
This is it.
Okay. So I was just. So what are you looking to do today? What do you want to do?
Not myself, but they worked with members of our city hall with our attorney and with their building director.
Why don't we wind this up and get going so
okay.
You guys can all get out of here. All right, well, folks, we're going to get started in just a minute or two, but before we do, just a couple of opening comments. Depending on which city you're here for, there's either a Batavia or a Geneva ordinance violation. But in either case, you do have certain rights that I think are important for you to understand. You do have a right to be represented by an attorney of your own choosing and at your own expense. You have a right to bring in diagrams, maps, photographs, affidavits, witnesses, anything you think will help you present your side of the story. And then finally, you have a right to appeal. If there's a decision that goes against you that you disagree with, you have a right to file an administrative appeal within 35 days of a final order. When your case is called, you're welcome to come up and have a seat at this table or wherever it's comfortable and convenient. We are recording all of the proceedings in order to preserve a record. And so for that record, I think we can get started with this first case, which is the City of Geneva versus David Potzet, care of Chaudine Family Foundation. Now, I don't have any sort of history on this. I have a piece of paper that says that there is an alleged violation at a property. So maybe by way of getting our feet wet on this case, I'll ask the city inspector, first of all, to identify yourself, tell us your name and your job title, and then kind of bring us up to speed on the history as far as you understand it.
Sure. My name is Colin Miller. I am the City of Geneva's Code Compliance Officer. I started in February of this year. The history of this property goes back much further than that. I don't want to get too far into that. But the short version is it's a vacant property. We have some exterior property maintenance violations, and that the building itself that we're discussing is not weathertight, and that is our main concern, particularly in regards to the roof itself. Isn't weathertight. At one point, it was sealed with a roof, or I'm sorry, with a tarp that is now degraded to the point that is not weathertight anymore, and that is our main concern. The main thing we want to see corrected here tonight is to have that, whether it's replacing the tarp or some other avenue of correction there, but that is our main priority.
So has this been here before? Why don't you show those to the attorney for the...
Sure. So we've had this... We've had this brought to adjudication in the past, but under the previous agreement that with Chaudine here, that we would continue this case with the agreement that we would have some sort of site development plan submitted by tonight. As far as I know, nothing has been submitted yet. I'm not aware of anything, but that was the agreement that by tonight we'd have some kind of development plan submitted for this site. And then if that were to be submitted, we would be putting an end to these hearings for this.
All right, so you said you started your job in February of 24?
That's right, yes.
When did you first site this property?
I would say within my first week of working with Geneva, I was made aware of it. We've been discussing it on and off since then.
So it's been continued from time to time, but there's mm-hmm. never been a hearing on whether or not the property's in violation.
Correct.
Okay. Now, let me turn to the respondents then and say, well, what's your understanding of all of this since it began?
So, it's for a new building. Demolished the old building. That's what's left. Claims that
I don't know if you're prepared to respond to that part of it, but when was the permit issued?
The permit was issued in 2016. by the city of Geneva in 2016.
That's still an open permit, or did that expire at some point?
Dave DeGroot, I'm the community development director with the city of Geneva. The permit that was issued was for the Millrace restaurant, which this structure was enveloped by. So the rest of that building was demolished under that permit, and this portion was retained. The property was then landmarked by the city and has since been denied a demolition permit for the remaining structure.
So I can explain a little more. The old peeling of an onion.
Sorry.
That the owner would go through and take out, and I can show you and demonstrate to you pictures in the hearing, where portions of the building are removed, peeled away. Ultimately, if you can remember what it looked like, I mean, it was an elongated building. It had the patio outside. When they reached this portion that shows the limestone, and that's the whole issue regarding the property now, is somebody in the midst of the demolition decided that it should be historic preservation. So there was a historic preservation that was applied to this building, only to the portion that's shown there that's called the blacksmith portion. And that's what you're looking at there. The historic portion are those pieces of limestone.
When was the building landmarked?
2018.
Yes, sir. So what's been going on with this property for the last 7 years?
So it was originally secured. The windows were boarded up. The openings in the roof were tarped. It was part of a consideration for a redevelopment plan through a redevelopment agreement with Chaudine that ultimately was not approved by the city council. Following that denial, there was an application to demo the structure. There was a application to amend the boundaries of the historic landmark to really just tighten it up to the surrounding area around the structure and not the entire site. And then there was a demolition permit applied for, and that was denied by the Historic Preservation Commission, appealed to the City Council, which upheld that decision. And then that was taken to court as well. Upheld.
So you're saying that the city council met and said you can't tear this down?
Yes, after it was peeled away and left with those four portions of a wall that was contained within the building.
My guess is you've got plans to develop this area, and it doesn't include this building.
That's correct, and I think when we met early before we started, I can't remember your name.
Ron Sandick.
Mr. Sandick was telling you about how there had been some meetings regarding what Chaudine wanted to do with the property. And there, as this gentleman said, that there were proposals, in fact, proposals that were funded by the city of Geneva and then rejected by the city. And I think you'll find that the issue here regarding a $750 fine is probably a little pressure by the city to encourage Chaudine to go with what they want in terms of a site plan. But there is no site plan, and any site plan would be for a new construction.
Can I quickly?
Sure.
My name's Ron Sandack, S-A-N-D-A-C-K, and I am one of the city attorneys for Geneva. Council is doing a little bit of cherry picking with the facts. As we sit here today, we have no interest other than complying with whatever plans the Chaudine Family Foundation wishes to give us. To date, there's nothing proposed. As we sit here, we continued the hearing before you on two occasions under the auspices of a soon coming plan. So we stopped the compliance process here because we were told the plan was coming. It never came. It's still not here. Council suggests something's coming. We would love to see it. In its absence, we now need compliance with our code. There's no pressure. This is, we want the structure, whatever you call it. They call it a remnant. It's still there, and we'd like it secure per the international code. That's it. We're not seeking to fine them. We're seeking compliance. They were able to comply back in 2018 and 2019 and 2020, but now suddenly they can't now, which is why we're here.
What's left to do to secure it? I mean, I see some boards on windows, but what else needs to be done?
Principally, we're looking for a tarp to go over the top of that, which is, you can see kind of an old, I'll use their word, remnant of a tarp that's frayed away with weather and age. The structure leaks because there's gaping holes in it, and the code requires that it be, quote, in good condition and weather tight. That's all we're looking for.
So do I hear you say that you're okay, ultimately, if this thing gets demolished?
That's for a tribunal that's not here, with all due respect.
Oh, no, I agree.
Right.
This is way above my pay grade.
Right. No, it's not above your pay grade. It's just outside the ken of your authority for tonight. The city council will address whatever plan comes before it. The city staff will address the plan. If it involves a portion of the structure or none of the structure, that is solely in the hands of the Shodine Family Foundation. The structure that now stands, it's a vacant property. It's not subject to any public use. It needs to be secured until such time as they favor us with whatever their plan is.
So what's your response to that?
Can I provide you a copy of the international code?
Sure.
So we're all speaking in the same. That's Exhibit G for the record, and it's the 2003 international. And if you look at page 12 of 44, if we just start with his last comment, where he says it's a vacant structure. There's only one thing that they need to do is the vacant structure under 301.3 shall be maintained in a clean, safe, secure, and sanitary condition as provided, so as not to be a blighting problem or adversely affect the public health or safety. It does not require, as council just suggested to you, that there be compliance with the 304.2, 304.6, or 304.7 that's contained on page 13. And I can supply you with a pleading and statements by counsel in a matter that was before Judge Bush relating to the property, where the city of Geneva specifically argued and maintained that the picture you're looking at that was provided to you by the gentleman is actually a safe condition and doesn't violate any safety issues according to the city of Geneva. They filed a pleading that specifically said that the historic preservation group voted 7-0 to deny the request to demolish those four remaining walls, and specifically found the structure does not pose a safety threat to the general public because the site is fenced and the windows are boarded. The building is not directly adjacent to a public sidewalk or roadway. So the Shodine Family Foundation is in compliance with the 2003 International Property Maintenance Code. If we believe that that is what council just said is a vacant structure. But if you also look at Exhibit G and you go to section 102 regarding historic buildings, 102.6, it specifically exempts historic buildings from the code if they're adjudicated by the city to be in a safe condition as it relates to the interests of the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And again, I can provide you the statements made to Judge Bush, as well as in a pleading filed in Kane County, where the city has already concluded it is in a safe condition as it relates to the welfare of the public.
So let me understand this now. So there's litigation pending in circuit court?
No.
There was
litigation pending. Shodin Foundation basically sought an administrative review before Judge Bush. Their petition was denied. Counsel, again, is cherry-picking and mixing his metaphors badly here. So one, the safety issue before Judge Bush has nothing to do with the code-related matters before this tribunal. The Judge Bush was dealing with an administrative review and whether the city of Geneva had abused its discretion with respect to the failure to give Shodin another demolition permit. The court found resoundingly that it would not substitute its judgment for that of the body politic and denied the claim brought by the Shodin Family Foundation. Since the date of Judge Bush's ruling, as I alluded earlier, we thought we were on the same level of trying to bring a plan before the city council that would deal with the, I'll use their term, remnant structure in some way, fashion, or form. We were told on at least three occasions a plan was coming. Even though we had this municipal matter pending, we withheld any type of action in furtherance of those representations, which we have now been told will not be coming at least anytime soon. So back to the matter at hand. The issue of safety was with respect to that proceeding, not with respect to what the code requires be maintained for this structure. It may be, quote, safe, meaning it's been fenced off, it's not for the public. It still must require adherence to the international code. It needs to be weather tight. It needs to be in good condition. And if you look at the provision council even talked about, 301, which is not before you, it talks about being in good condition. That structure is not in good condition. All we are seeking is that the Shodin Family Foundation do what they did back in 2018, which is simply secure the property. It's their property. Make it weather tight, put a tarp on the roof, and we'll be satisfied. And no, again, for the third time, we're not seeking to find them. We're seeking to find that they comply.
Okay. There's no way you can look at the code, the maintenance code, the sections I cited to you, and reach the conclusion he just stated to you. Because the code only for exterior structures under 304.2, 304.6, and 304.7 applies to buildings that are occupied. It does not, by the very scope of the code under 301.3, apply to vacant structures and land, and it certainly doesn't seek compliance under 102.6 of the that relates to historical buildings. The other thing is, and I just want to make sure that this is in the record, I'm going to give you
okay, so just so the record's clear, you've handed me some pleadings and looks like a transcript from a case called 23MR321 from Kane County.
That's correct, and that's the hearing that counsel was speaking about. If you turn to page 7 of the pleading, defendant's response in opposition to plaintiff's motion for judgment, which is marked as Exhibit C, this was filed as May 10th, 2024. And if you turn to page 7 at above the Roman numeral 1, where it talks, where the city argues about why it should not allow Shodin to demolish what they call the historic landmark, and you specifically look at paragraph 4. the transcript that I provided to you, starting at page 9, Exhibit D for the record, is a report of proceedings dated June 10, 2024, where Mr. Sandak took the position, again, that the structure is safe and does not pose a threat to the public. There is no reason that the same statement, whether it's safe in the hearing before Judge Bush, and I'm struggling to conceive of a way it could possibly be or mean something different under the maintenance code that would be applicable here, whether or not safe structure for the public. Those are judicial admissions because they are made by an agent of the city as it relates to Exhibit D. And they are judicial admissions in virtue of the defendant's response that was filed by the Kane County in the case 2023 MR321, in particular page 7, paragraph 4. So
admittedly, this is a lot to throw at me all at once, but are you saying that under section 304, that it has to be an occupied property in order for those codes to be enforced?
I don't think it necessarily needs to be occupied, but it certainly needs to be a structure that would be in use, and it specifically exempts 301.3 vacant structures, and that's what we're dealing with, according to council, although we believe the 102.6, it's a historic building, and that would also be applicable. Under those two particular sections, they do not fall under the purview of section 304, 304.2, 304.6, or 304.7.
Agree with that?
I totally disagree. And I think your question should be amplified. There's nothing in the provisions that are cited before the petition that says it has to be an occupied property. These are structures that need to be maintained. These are minimum instances of maintenance. And there's nothing about 301 that accepts this structure. So again, the cherry picking is incredible. So instead of dealing with 304 and whether we have a 304 violation, which we believe we've shown you in those pictures, and I guess kind of tacitly he's admitting that in trying to accept it out by way of 301, there is nothing that, and by the way, there is a distinction between what I said before Judge Bush and what minimum standards of requirement are before this tribunal. Judge Bush understood that the vacant property is like, the structure is like a vacant property. Is it safe, i.e. is it fenced off? And most importantly, is it subject to public use? The property is not in public use. That's the safety component. For purposes of today, we're looking for minimum adherence to the code. That's it. And sealing it and keeping it structurally sound with a tarp is hardly onerous. It's what they've done in the past.
So all you, if I understand you correctly, all you want is some order that says that the respondent has to make his property weather tight.
Right.
Saying I don't want to do that because we shouldn't have
weather tight for that building, just by looking at the picture, they say a tarp.
That's what was there before.
That's not. So under the administrative code due process, they have to prosecute what they've pled. They've pled violations, specific violations. None of them have to do with just putting a tarp up there. They specifically say all exterior walls shall be free from holes, breaks, loose or rotting materials and maintained in a weatherproof and properly surfaced coated were required to prevent deterioration. We're talking about a building that had been demolished, not something that is going to be occupied or in some sort of use for people. You're looking at four walls that are there simply by virtue of the fact that they happen to be limestone. So 304, roofs and drainage, the roof and flashing shall be sound. That's not a tarp. So
well,
There's no flashing, so we don't have to worry about that.
Let me say this, the last thing, you can't read 301.3. Why would they include it? If why would they have a carve-out for vacant structures? So the way you read any contract is you look, in this particular code, it has a specific section under vacant structures, and it lists what needs to be done. And they've admitted that it is safe. And frankly, that's not even one of the charges under
that's
those
right.
sections.
That's right. It's not one of the charges, which is why we're wasting time.
So let me ask you a real practical question then. I know what he wants. What do you want? I mean, if you could wave your magic wand and get the order you want, what would it say?
The case is dismissed. I would like to also talk about the estoppel, because if you can see what they allowed to happen here, they anticipated that there would be no roof to this structure.
I don't know what you're looking at. Council didn't favor me with the copy, so.
Here.
Is this the permit from 2016?
So this is what started all of it when you ask. This is the permit that was sought, and if you look under the architectural presentation, the notification of demolition and renovation on the tabbed page, which is 7 pages in, under the description of planned demolition, where it states, methods to be employed, including demolition or renovation techniques, structural removal, tree removal, historic structure, uncover, and leave exposed. That's right within the permit application in 2016. If you go further where I tabbed, there was a hearing, and this is all part of the permit package, for the Millrace Inn demolition, August 10, 2016, where the city expressly understood.
Pardon, we're relitigating a 2016 matter? I mean.
It's a stopple.
I guess I would argue waste and intentional neglect, but I'm not going to. We can't be relitigating the process in 2016, the process in 2018, or even the case before Judge Bush. Before this tribunal is the limited scope matter of minimum maintenance requirements, not the history. I mean, this is becoming a federal case. You know the old adage, don't make a federal case out of it? Don't make a federal case out of it. This is what we're here for today. Minimum property maintenance requirements. No more, no less, and we're not gonna relitigate 2016.
Let me ask you this. Here's another real practical question as far as I'm concerned. Whether I say ultimately put a tarp over it, or whether I say ultimately, there's nothing here, let's dismiss this case, that doesn't resolve anything, and you're back to them waiting for a plan, and it doesn't seem to me like there's... I suppose we could all be back here again on something else. So what's... I suppose the real practical part of this is, what are we going to do next? Independent of whatever we're doing tonight.
I can't speak to that because I'm not part of that type of discussion. Dave may be able to, or I don't know, Kate, were you involved in any of that?
I am, but I can't.
So that's the issue, is that they're trying to at first work together, and when that didn't work, this federal case came up when they decided to serve a summons, which frankly wasn't served properly.
Well, you're here, so.
I understand, but.
If this all started in 2016, you know, we're coming up on 9 years of whatever it is you're doing with this property.
That's right, and that's the point, is that the permit allowed, if I just can finish.
The permit's no longer around. Can we not talk about 2016?
So you don't understand the issue, Counsel.
Oh, I understand
it. If the case law and estoppel is where somebody undertakes, as in this case, a demolition, the demolition says the roof is going to be exposed, it's not going to be there, and then that's how it is, and then suddenly they get a summons from the city saying you're violating portions of the International Property Maintenance Code that don't frankly apply to the building. There's a number of problems, and one of them is equitable estoppel that was recognized by the Supreme Court of this state in 1966.
So we're going to talk estoppel, and we're going to talk.
What I would, if I could finish the rest, the rest of that exhibit E. Contains a topographical survey that I flagged for you, which specifically says the historic structure to be uncovered. The city was aware of that and then ultimately issued the permit. And now, because they can't agree on a site plan, they want to...
Site plan? We don't have a site plan.
They want to go and do this, which the Shodin Foundation doesn't think is fair or equitable.
Okay, so I took the bait with this equity and, you know, equitable estoppel. So that's a letter from Mr. Patzelt, the fine-looking gentleman to my left. A little more timely. This isn't 2016 or even 2017 or 2018. It's 2024. And at that time, Mr. Patzelt knew well and good because he had previously agreed to take the things try and secure the building, because at that time, council may not be aware, he wasn't around then, that we were working together. We were waiting on this plan that we had been promised. And winter was there and we needed the tarp put on. And he said, I'd do that. Except then he all of a sudden said, I can't do it. Not that I wouldn't, I can't. And he came to us with this, with five people he apparently approached. But if you turn to the third page, because it's kind of an interesting thing, Dave's probably a really good building. I know he's a good developer and a smart guy, but he forgot to cut off a part of his email to his people that he was looking to tarp, because he said, since the original temporary tarp was installed, which they did, at least two structural engineers and two architects have stated that the roof structure is not safe. Attached are some current photographs of the structure and the temporary tarp as it is today. So he was telling people, would you put a tarp on? But oh yeah, it's not safe. So not surprisingly, no one took him up on his invitation. But to the equitable estoppel point, they knew then and had agreed before that to tarp the thing and to make it at least look decent. And that's before we came and filed claims, because we thought we were on the same page. And in fact, council's partner in the back of the room knows, because I talked to her at least three times. And we were on the same page for a while until we weren't, which was unilateral on the side of the defendant.
Last statement. So that's the point. So now he says it doesn't look decent. I mean, and that's not one of the things that they've claimed under the code. That's number one. Number two, on January 17, 2024, now that this is a part of the record, we should probably mark it, but it's exactly, you know, you're asking why not just put up a tarp, because they did try and no contractor would go up risking somebody's neck, bodily, or anything to put them up on the structure as it exists, as you see in that picture. So
we don't want anyone standing on it. No surprise.
So why are we here? Because the city is using an artifice under this code that's not proper. It's just not.
Well, is there anything either one of you want to submit? Any other documents, any other exhibits?
No, but I would like the right of rebuttal as the petitioner. The arguments that have been put forth are just that. The only thing that's before you isn't the history, isn't their interpretation of the history, it isn't their interpretation of our motive, which frankly is just wrong. Our motive has been seeking compliance from the jump. We tried it every which way but Tuesday. This isn't retribution, because if it were, we wouldn't come at him with a whole bunch of stuff. We're just seeking minimum levels of compliance.
Well, to be fair, though, I mean, I think that they have a right to put it into some context.
Sure. That's fair.
Last thing, I didn't get a chance. Yeah. Sure. Last thing. That shows the evolution of the demolition.
Today. So I'm sure Mr. Sandek probably sat in that little porch there and had a little fish once in his life and beer. So that's gone, but you can tell 9/23/2016 is right after the permits issued. Flip to the next page of exhibit number F, and you can see another portion of the building where they're gonna do demolition. And then if you go to the 9/23 where they've same picture that we were looking at, they're taking this board, the boards out there. Then go to the 9/23/2016 picture where they get down. Now this is the roof. So they're worried about preserving historic structure. That's plywood. That's not part of the old blacksmith. That was applied well after when the mill race decided to build over the blacksmith structure. That's the portion that was taken out. It was disclosed in the demolition permit that they weren't going to have that roof on there. Then if you go to the 10/4/2016 and then the 10/10/2016, and you can see the evolution of the demolition. There is no way the resulting structure could ever fall within the chapter 3 or section 3 of that code. It falls within the vacant structure or the historical structure that does not require what they're requesting here. And the case should be dismissed.
That's simply inaccurate as a matter of law. You can read the provisions upon which we seek relief, and vacant properties are certainly within its purview.
Do you have a blank order?
Yes, I do. One moment.
Well, I want to give this the time it deserves, and you've given me probably 50 or 60 pages of documents here. So as they say on TV, I'll take this under advisement and get a decision out in the next couple of days. Before I leave, I'll get your email address so I know where to email this, and then you can... So unless there's anything else, I think that's all for tonight.
Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.
If you got here earlier, they had a band.
Appropriately enough, I suppose. Any folks here for you?
Yes, we got a couple. And one had to leave.
Oh, that's fine. Sir, you're here for City of Geneva? What's your name, please?
First name Vince, last name it's Raulde, I-R-R-A-L-D-E. I appreciate you not taking a recess.
Giraldi?
Correct.
Okay. It looks like you got a ticket here. It's dated August 13th at about 9:30. It says deposit of coins required. Looks like there was a ticket at the 3rd Street commuter garage on a Volkswagen. And let's see what the officer said. Just says no payment for spot number 58. What did you want to tell me about that?
It's a little bit of background. It's the Metro parking station at the Geneva stop. I commute to work three times a week, so I'm familiar with it. I did pay. The only problem is that, and if I may, I have the receipt, the payment receipt.
Let's see what you got. Oh, I see. 58 and 57.
So
Yeah, those things happen. Well, you paid. I guess the good news is you know that they're out watching. But we'll give you the benefit of the doubt on this one. Here's the, super careful because obviously they're watching and now everything's in the computer. So if it happens again, you'll probably have to pay the ticket. Take this with you as proof of what we did today, and you're free to go.
Thank you.
All right, sir. What's your name, please?
Jackson, but he couldn't find me on here.
You know, I ended up finding you. Okay. I looked over it, so I got the ticket number here. It's P1.
You have some proof of payment?
No, so I was the same garage. You said the third Street garage at the Metro?
Second.
011378.
Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it that you wanted to say?
So I was, I parked there and I used the third party app. I think the gentleman, it's called Passport, I think. Passport parking, and they didn't accept my form of payment. And I've used this app in Batavia now. I've used it in Bartlett literally 2 days prior, and they accepted that form of payment. And then the app said I needed to deposit $25. It's common place in parking. Not in Bartlett, but it's commonplace in parking to like limit the number of transactions so the city doesn't have to pay the fees, I'm guessing. But I didn't want to pay $25 because I don't commute from Geneva typically. It's only when I go into the office late, that was a one-off. And it didn't accept my Apple Pay, even though on the app it says it accepts Apple Pay. And I've also used that app and used that third party, and I've...
I suppose you have anything that shows that you tried to pay that day?
No, but I can, I can try to pay it right now, and it won't let me.
Hey, what I'll do. We'll give you... So now, sadder but wiser, right? You know what you can do and what you can't do.
Uh-huh.
And so if it happens again, you'll be responsible for it, but for today's purposes, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you, and sorry you had to listen to whatever that was beforehand.
Okay, let's wrap up your stuff.
Sorry, pardon me. We don't need anything written,
right? No, you're good.
Do I need a receipt or anything?
It's been dismissed in our system.
Take care.
Okay, so back to City of Batavia. This is William Saloga.
Yes, Tim Osterman with the City of Batavia, code enforcement officer. William Saloga has applied for the permit and is in the process, and I'm confident that the permit will be issued, so we would like to non-suit the charge.
So you just want to dismiss this?
Yes.
Okay, let me see here.
Next, we have 543 People's Court, Dan Chanzit. The first charge is for a vehicle, which has been removed, so we will dismiss that charge. The second charge is for prohibited junk storage, which is still in violation. And the third charge is outdoor storage, failure to remove outdoor storage, which is still in violation. Mr. Chanzit has failed to show up tonight. The city is looking for, if found liable, $250 for each violation, accumulating up to $500.
Okay, and then case closed?
Yes, sir.
That'll be the order.
Thank you.
Anything else for you? Just do that
now? Nope, just that first one.
That's a good one.
All right, so we have one more parking that she requested continued due to family.
Tracy?
Yeah, they had just requested to continue the next court date. They'll
ordinance violations? I don't know what you want. There it is, too.
There it is, yeah, that's the one.
Okay. All right, so battery, looks like August 3rd, about noon. I'll read the report. So a little bit of a dispute about what happened, but the defendant admitted touching the victim, and the defendant's not here tonight, so. Tabor, disorderly conduct. Not here. Looks like he got into kind of a dust up with the security guard and officer witnessed some of this, so. Defendant's not here. It's pretty clear there was a disorderly conduct. Trespass, August 2nd, about 10 o'clock at night. And he's not here either. Pretty clear demonstration of trespassing. So find him liable. Okay. Next we have they were subsequently arrested for DUI. Okay. Next, we have last name Fender. August 21st, 2024, subject is operating. August 16th, 2024, subject was operating at 20. So for all those vehicle seizure and impoundment cases, there'll be a finding that services proper default judgments will enter. And by the old clock on the wall, it being 7:52, we'll close this evening's hearings.
Beautiful. Yeah, I just got to do this right here.
Yeah, I didn't know that was coming. Sorry. Woo.
I apologize for that. I didn't expect.
Yeesh. What I really wanted to say is, we